Well, we are at the end of this panel, and I just want to thank all the panelists and participants of this afternoon for your valuable contributions, insights, and questions today. I would like to close this session acknowledging the rich, diversity of ideas, proposals, and calls for action that we have heard in this section that have emerged through the conversations too. It appears to me, at least, that there is a very clear precondition for all this conversation, which is ending all human rights violations, not just in mental health systems, but in general as a precondition to deal with this issue, war, conflict, crisis, climate crisis, but also a clear message of we need to reframe this conversation and focusing more on people and less than in improving existing systems. But still, the question about how do we move forward with reforming mental health system is there. But also, I think we have heard very clearly from, I would say, all stakeholders, we need to take the lead from the perspective of rights holders. And ending coercion seems to be a key priority. It has been mentioned from practitioners to those today bearing the human rights violations. And we need to move from alternatives, as we used to frame this conversation, to non-coercive responses as the universal standard for any response we build within or outside the health system. Another key area that has been mentioned today is cultural change, and that starts from the communities, and that starts from how to demedicalize the way we understand suffering, but also we need to change the practice in the system and in mental health professionals. And that cultural change is a very difficult one. And we didn't talk about that today, but it includes also the media and how the media reinforce many of these practices and stereotypes. Another, I would say, third key action that I have heard this afternoon is how do we move from health responses to all human rights? And Ruchi and many others have mentioned community inclusion as a way forward. And we can discuss endlessly if we're talking about community inclusion, if we're talking about social rights, if we're talking about human rights, if we're talking about social determinants of health. But we need to take the conversations there. Housing, employment, we need to address them, and we need to address them in a way that is each sector that takes the lead. Victor brought something very important, I think, and I think has resonated with other interventions too, which is how do we build coalitions and broad movements that lead the way of change? Because we need the power of different perspectives coming together trying to achieve change, and it seems to be something that we are not achieving today. Sumitra also brought about intersectional approaches, and that has resonated also with many of the interventions. It's not just this abstract conversation about mental health or about people with psychosocial disabilities. This is a diverse group with different experiences, with different traits that are experiencing different forms of oppression. We need to address them. But probably one of the most important things from this conversation is how do we really recognize the expertise and the leadership of people with psychosocial disabilities? And there is a clear call there on accountability and reparations. And how do we use other tools, such as the DI guidelines, for example, to move in that direction? And finally, I just want to add in that list of things that I have been taking notes, which is we need to evaluate what we're doing. We need to understand where we are, but also we need to evaluate what we're doing. And NHRI's very important role in monitoring, but also we need data. Otherwise, we don't know what's happening. I just also want to add something else from myself, which is to express my concern about the limited participation of state delegations today, and that's a reality. And I think if we truly want to drive change, we need both political will and action. And I think ideas and tools and these conversations are very important, but without the power to implement them, I think progress will be out of reach. And lastly, I want to reflect on the gap between this room and the realities faced by people around the world enduring human rights violations. From psychiatric wards to prayer camps, not to mention those facing trauma, oppression, and displacement in conflict zones such as Palestine and Sudan. Those of us with the privilege of being here in Geneva discussing what to do, we have a responsibility to act. So thank you very much.